Welcome to the St. Luke's Lubbock Sermon Podcast. Enjoy this sermon by Dr. Andy Hurst.
All right. Beautiful. Thank y'all for kind of getting us in here this morning. If you're at home because you didn't want to get wet, man, you're missing out this morning. But if you're at home because you need to be home, I hope this worship service is a blessing to you. Thank y'all for being here this morning, man. And at 7:30 when I came to church this morning, it was pouring. Like we heard it on our little, what are those lights called on your roof? What are those called? Okay. Heard it on the skylights. You know it's raining, and you know I'm going out the car, and Jane's going, "You need your umbrella." I'm going, "I can't find it. Can't find it." The umbrella was in the trunk. It did a lot of good in the trunk. But anyway, y'all, we are doing this sermon series on being His. You know, we are His sheep. We are His children. This morning, we're talking about what it means to be His friend. You know, anyway. But guess what? That's how God looks at us. We are His, and He's so excited. He's so pleased whenever we let His blessing be real in our lives. So don't leave His blessing. Don't leave the reality that you belong to Jesus. Don't leave that in the trunk. You know, let that be something you use, not just in this house, but always. You belong to Jesus. All right, we don't just belong to Jesus, though. We belong to each other. Now, I know that for most of us who grew up in West Texas, we were taught to pull ourselves up by our own bootstraps. But I'm going to tell you, that's not how you do Jesus. That's not how we do Christianity. We don't do it alone, sucking it up and autonomous. We do it together. We do it interdependently, belonging to Jesus and belonging to each other. So y'all, all month long, we've been talking to you about being involved in a grace group or in a Sunday school class. And let me just say, if you don't have that, and there, you just text grace to that number, I'll call you, we'll work on it, we'll find a way for you to be connected. And y'all, we, very beginning, right? It's not good for man to be alone. In the New Testament, everything was about the fellowship of believers. There is no I, there's we when it comes to following Jesus. It's not about, you know, I love what we do here in worship. We are called to worship Jesus, yes. But we are called not just to an event called worship. We're called to a life of doing life together. That's what these groups are about. That's what our Sunday school classes are about us belonging to each other, loving each other, helping each other, growing each other into the very image of Christ. Lord God, thank you and praise you for Larry in his purple shirt. Thank you for not just what he's wearing on the outside, but who he is on the inside. And Lord, we pray for the power of your Spirit to work in 2 weeks when, Lord, this event is held, when this Kairos is held. And Lord, we pray we're not just having an event on the inside of a prison. Lord Jesus, we pray for your Spirit to be moving on the inside of these men. Lord, even now preparing them for what you're going to do. May people come to know you for the first time or the 100th time, but may they come to know your grace, your forgiveness, your healing, and your restoration. Lord, thank you for this church, Lord, that just so committed to give, and so committed to just partner with you in what you're doing in this world. Lord, this is what you're doing in this world right here. So receive our gifts today and receive our love today and just use our gifts and use our love to transform this world. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. This morning, we're going to sing, and as we're singing, we're passing the plates. I'm trying to think. There's just so much going on right now at church. There's the Fall Festival, the 26th. 2 weeks from now, it's our big Grace Festival down in Fellowship Hall. The church is doing the chicken, all you're supposed to do. I can't remember how it works, but either you bring a side or you bring a dessert, and we're going to have so much fun doing that. And on the 30th, 2 weeks from now, we're going to vote about the future of our church, our denominational future of our church. That's a lot, isn't it? Oh, yeah, we're having stewardship month. Yeah, that's a lot. So anyway, but Lord, we're here today not to just do stuff, not to just have program, not to just fill a pew. Jesus, we're here today to meet with you. So as we continue to worship you, Jesus, hear our hearts. Lord, we need you. At College Group on Wednesday, we had a great discussion about what it means to be a friend, all right? So here are some of the things a college student said. They said, a friend is someone who makes time for you. A friend is someone who's willing to tell you the truth, even when it's hard, even when it hurts. A friend is someone who will never abandon you, even when you're being stupid or selfish. A friend is someone you can count on. A friend is someone you can trust. A friend, I like this one, a friend is someone who brings you cookies when you're down, right? Many years ago, a British newspaper invited readers to submit their best definitions of friendship or friends. Basically, the same thing we did around the kitchen table at our house on Wednesday, they did in a contest. Thousands of suggestions flooded in, and so here are a few. A friend is someone who multiplies our joys, divides our griefs, and whose honesty is never in question. A friend is someone who understands our silence. Friends are like good health. You don't realize what a gift they are until they're no longer there. And then this little quote, prosperity begets friends, adversity proves them. Prosperity begets friends, adversity proves them. So here's, sounds a little bit like what Lucian said in the second century. Lucian, a second century Greek writer, this is what he wrote about being a friend. He said, just as in calm weather, a man cannot tell whether his sailing master is good, he will need a storm to determine that. And then Lucian basically says, the same is true of friendship. It's not in the good times that we find out our friends, but rather in the times that are most difficult that we discover who our true friends really are. So I like that. Just as in calm weather, a man cannot tell whether a sailing master is good, he will need a storm to determine that. Yeah, I don't know what you're in right now, good weather or storm, but there is a friend, and that's the friend we're going to talk about today. While we have much to learn about friendship from each other, while we have much to learn about friendship from ancient writers, our hope this morning is to learn about friendship straight from Jesus himself. Our scripture this morning, please stand. Please hear and receive God's word. This is in John chapter 15. By the way, this is the last night that Jesus is with his disciples. He's laying down, you know, a lot of last lecture truths to them. And it's all red letters if you have your Bibles. John 15 verses 12 through 17. My command is this. Love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that he laid down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I've called you friends, for everything that I have learned from the Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. Then the Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. This is my command. Love each other. Lord Jesus, this morning, let your word be true in us, be real in us, be alive in us. Lord, this morning, we need you. We need you to come and be friend. Come and friend us this morning. Not the click of a button on Facebook, but the presence of your very Holy Spirit working in each and every one of us. Lord, come and show us what friendship looks like. Come and let it be birthed in us and be grown in us and be made real in us. We ask for your friendship today, Jesus. In your name we pray. Amen. Y'all can be seated. So this morning, four foundational facts about friendship, all right? Fact number one, friendship is all about love. So, by the way, if you're looking for what the Greek word is for friend, it's love. The Greek word for friend is philos. In these six verses, there are seven references for the two Greek words for love, philos and agape. Through verses 12 through 16, agape is used three times and philos is used three times. And then in verse 17, agape takes the lead and takes the win, right? There, four times for agape, three for philos. Now, most of us are at least a little familiar with the distinction between agape and philos in classical Greek. Philos is the Greek word for relational love, brotherly love. That's where Philadelphia gets its name. It's the city of brotherly love, right? Philos is classically understood as conditional and reciprocal love. So philos is when, you know, you scratch my back and I scratch yours. Agape is the Greek word for unconditional commitment love. Agape is classically understood as abstract or rational love. But in Christianity, specifically in the Gospel of John, and expressly in the person, in the work, in the words of Jesus himself, philos and agape are often used interchangeably. So in Jesus, agape becomes very personal. Agape becomes relational to the core. And in Jesus, philos love becomes unconditional and sacrificial to the core. So at weddings, the way we say it in our ritual, that Jesus showed us that love is relational when he graced a wedding at Cana of Galilee. Jesus showed us that love is practical when he fed the hungry. Jesus showed us that love is affectionate when he held the little children in his arms. Jesus showed us that love is holistic when he reached out and touched the untouchable leper. And Jesus showed us that love is sacrificial when he gave himself on the cross for us. And so at a wedding, I look at the groom and I say, this is the way you're supposed to love your wife. And I look at the bride and I say, this is the way you're supposed to love your husband. Here in John 15, Jesus is saying to us this. This is how a friend is called to be a friend to another. This is how a friend is called to love a friend. I wonder this morning, just as we begin to talk about what it means to be a friend, that we have to understand friendship at its essence, in its essence, at its core, it's all about love. We are either a friend or not a friend based on whether we love or don't love. Okay, second foundational fact of friendship is that real friendship leads to real sacrifice. John 15, 13, Jesus says, greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for one's friends. Real friendship requires real sacrifice. Now, most contemporary language about friendship doesn't speak about friendship in terms of life or death issues, right? But Jesus did. When we talk about friends, we talk about hanging out with our friends, celebrating with our friends, going out to eat with our friends. We go on vacation with our friends. We go to ball games with our friends. We're there for our friends when they face a time of need. We're there for them. The modern ideal of a friend is not someone who lays down his or her life for the sake of another. But Jesus said, greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. So what does it really mean to die for someone? I mean, it means to put their needs before your needs, to put their protection and their well-being before your own. Being a real friend means to hurt, sacrifice, and give for the sake of another without expecting anything in return from them. That's a friend. John Maxwell tells the story of two friends named Jim and Philip. Jim was just a little older than Philip, but they did everything together when they were little boys growing up. They even went to high school and college together. After college, they decided to join the Marines together. And by a unique set of circumstances, they were sent to Germany together, where they fought side by side in World War II. One sweltering day during a fierce battle in Europe, amid heavy gunfire and bombing and close quarter combat, they were given the command to retreat. And as the men were falling back and running back, Jim noticed that Philip had not returned with the others. Panic gripped his heart, and Jim knew that if Philip were not back in another minute or two, that he wouldn't make it. Jim begged his commanding officer to let him go to his friend, but the officer denied his request, saying it would be suicide. Risking his own life, Jim disobeyed the order and he went after Philip. His heart pounding, he ran into the gunfire, calling out Philip's name again and again, Philip, Philip. And a short time later, his platoon saw him wounded and hobbling across the battlefield, carrying a limp body in his arms. Jim's commanding officer chastised him, shouting that it was a foolish waste of time and an outrageous risk. Your friend is dead, he added, and there's nothing that you could do. No, sir, you're wrong, Jim replied. I got there just in time. I got there just in time before he died. Philip's last words were, I knew you would come, friend. I knew you would come. Our challenge, of course, as a real friend, a true friend of Jesus, a true friend of one another, is not just to be willing to die for a friend, but are we willing to live for a friend? The question, are we willing to put the needs of someone else before our own needs? I mean, look, I got more rights than that. I mean, no. Are we willing to give and serve and hurt because we love someone else, no matter what the cost to ourselves? Third foundational fact of friendship is that friendship results in obedience. John 15:14, Jesus says, You are my friends if you do what I command. If you do what I command, if you obey me. A missionary translator was endeavoring to find a word for obedience in the native language of those that he was serving. Seemingly, this was a virtue seldom practiced among the people because he couldn't find the word anywhere. So he has to find this word so he can translate the word of God, the New Testament, into the language of the people. And as he returned home from the village one day, he whistled for his dog. His dog came running full speed, and an old native, seeing this, said admiringly in the native tongue, he said, your dog is all ear. Immediately the missionary knew that he had his word for obedience. To be a friend of Jesus is to be all ear, to hear him and heed him, to hear his voice and follow his voice. We don't just say we believe in Jesus. We actually are called to follow him. We don't just call ourselves by his name. We're Christian. We actually become like Christ. We become like Jesus as we do what he calls us to do, as we go where he calls us to go. This morning, are you all ear? Are you a friend of Jesus in that you're willing to hear him and obey him? Fourth foundational fact about friendship is that friendship is about intimacy. John 15:15, I no longer call you servants, slaves, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends, for everything that I learned from my Father, I have made known to you. Just as Jesus spent time with his Father, his followers, his disciples have spent time with him. They have detached themselves from their homes. They've detached themselves from their families. They've detached themselves from their careers, you know, fishing or tax collecting, whatever it was. And they've attached themselves to Jesus. You see, being present, spending time, being connected, being involved in each other's lives, that's what leads to intimacy. And intimacy is what allows for knowledge and truth to be shared with friends. So here's the foundational principle. Truth is best communicated across the bridge of interpersonal relationships. Truth is best communicated across the bridge of interpersonal relationships. Disciples aren't made at a distance. Friends don't come with the click of the button on Facebook, but rather friends are found through investment and partnership, involvement in each other's lives. I don't know if you remember the TV series called The West Wing, but in one episode, White House Chief of Staff Leo McGrary reaches out to his deputy, Josh Lyman. His deputy, Josh, is struggling with PTSD, and so Leo tells him a parable about friendship. He said, one day this guy's walking down the street when he falls down in a hole. The walls are so steep that he can't get out. A doctor passes by, and the guy shouts, hey, doc, can you help me? And the doctor writes a prescription, and he throws it down in the hole, and he moves on. Later, a priest comes along, and the guy shouts out, Father, hey, I'm down in this hole. Can you help me? And the priest writes out a beautiful prayer, beautiful prayer, throws it down in the hole, and then he moves on. And then a friend walks by. "Hey, Joe, it's me. Can you help me out?" And the friend jumps down in the hole so he can literally be with his friend. And our guy says, "Man, are you crazy? Now we're both stuck down here. What are we going to do?" And the friend says, "Yeah, I'm here with you, brother. But I've been here before, and I know the way out." That's what friends do. They do whatever it takes to get with us. They do whatever it takes to be with us, to intentionally pursue us. They do whatever it takes to get down in the hole with us so that they can show us the way out. Look again at John 15, verse 15. "Instead, I've called you friends, for everything that I learned from my Father, everything I've learned from my Father, I've made known to you." A friend is someone who's willing to jump in that pit with us, and also someone who is willing to tell you, tell me the truth, even when it hurts, even when it's hard, even when, especially when we need to hear it the most. Look at verse 16. "You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit." You know what's so obvious this morning, all morning long, is that we've been looking at this passage all morning long as we've been looking at John chapter 15, is that Jesus isn't just teaching us about the philosophical ideal of friendship. Jesus is fully embodying, fully embracing, fully exampling the reality, showing us the reality of what his friendship with us is really like. Jesus is not just talking about the theory of being a friend. He is the friend, our friend. Jesus chose you before the foundation of the world. He chose you. Jesus didn't wait around for you to finally get your act together. Jesus didn't wait around for you to choose him. He chose you. He pursued you. He initiated relationship with you. Just like the shepherd going out to find the lost sheep, or just like the woman turning her house upside down and inside out to find that lost coin, or just like that loving, never giving up father comes running down the turn row and he embraces and kisses his pig stunk, torn, tattered son. He loves him. He chooses him. He pursues him. Just like that, Jesus is seeking you, pursuing you. Jesus is seeking a friendship with you. This very moment, this very morning, he's not seeking to be your acquaintance. He's not simply trying to be one of your 2,000 friends on Facebook. He's not simply trying to be someone that you just know about. He's seeking to be your intimate, close, loving, forever friend. Jesus put on human skin as a baby. Jesus put on the cross of our sin and brokenness as a fully grown man. And Jesus did it all out of obedience to his Father. Jesus did it all out of his love for his friends. Truth is, Jesus died for us while we were yet anything but friends. Romans 5:8 says, Jesus proved his love for us while we were still sinners, while we were still going our own way, while we were still doing our own thing, while we were still giving him the stiff arm, right? Jesus gave himself for us, proved his love for us while we were still sinners. That's when Christ Jesus died for us. The derogatory phrase that the Pharisees hurled at Jesus again and again was that he was a friend of sinners. And indeed, y'all, he was. Jesus hung out with sinners. Jesus ate with sinners. Jesus healed sinners. Jesus set sinners free from captivity. Jesus died for sinners just like you and me. Jesus befriended sinners just like you and me. And this morning, if we're going to be Jesus' friend, then we too must be willing to be friends of sinners. Not judgers of sinners or condemners of sinners or rejectors of sinners or finger waggers at sinners, but friends of sinners. We've got to be willing to make our presence and our love a reality in their lives. So I close this morning with a very simple story about the difference the simple act of friendship can make in someone's life. In his book, The Enormous Exception, Earl Palmer tells about a pre-med undergrad student at the University of California, Berkeley. This undergrad student became a Christian after a long journey through doubts and questions. When he was a sophomore in college, he had a bout with the flu that kept him out of class for 10 days. And during that critical absence from his organic chemistry class, a Christian classmate carefully collected all his missed lectures, all his assignments, and his friend took the time from his own studies, his own duties, his own responsibilities to help him catch up with class. So years later, that pre-med student, now a doctor, now a committed Christian, he told Earl Palmer, he said, "You know, that kind of care, that just doesn't happen accidentally nowadays. And I'm sure if it had been up to me, I wouldn't have done that for someone else. But my friend gave that help to me without any fanfare or any complaints. And I wanted to know what made this friend of mine act the way he did, what made him tick. And so I found myself asking him, I'm an atheist, an agnostic at best, I found myself asking him if I could go to church with him." Palmer wrote, he said, "I think the best tribute I've ever heard concerning a Christian was a tribute spoken of this student. This is what this man said about his friend from long ago. He said, I just felt more alive. I just felt more alive when I was around him." I wonder this morning if you're that kind of friend. I mean, are you willing to love others like Jesus has loved you? Or are you willing to sacrifice and give of yourself for the sake of others, no matter what you get in return? Are you willing to do whatever that it is that Jesus is asking you to do? Are you willing to be present, to be intimately involved and invested in the life of the friends that Jesus has called you to? Maybe even the bigger question this morning is, are you willing to be a true friend of Jesus? Are you willing to love Jesus like he has loved you? Are you willing to lay down your life for him? Are you willing to not just read his word, but to actually obey his voice? Are you willing to truly take the time and make the time to just be with him? Available to him, intimate with him. Are you hungry to be an intimate and close friend with the God of all creation? Lord, this morning, thank you. Thank you for not just teaching us about friendship, but thank you, Jesus, for truly being our friend. Our friend who's here right now. Thank you, Jesus, for not just calling us to be a friend, but right now, right this very moment, thank you, Jesus, for empowering us by your Holy Spirit to be a friend, to be a friend to sinners, and to be a friend to you. Lord, we can't do it on our own. But as you, the friend, come and friend us and fill us with your Spirit, Lord, we can be who you're calling us to be. We can do what you're calling us to do. So come, Jesus. Come, Jesus, this morning and friend us to yourself. We need you, friend. We need you here and now, dear friend. We need you here and now, Jesus. Come. Lord, you know what's going on. You know where we're struggling. You know where we're hurting. You know where we're kind of fed up being a friend. It seems like it never works out. Lord, help us right there. Help us to love others even as you have loved us. Lord, this morning as we sing our closing song, as we pray at this altar, we pray in our pews. Lord, we don't just lift our voices to you. God, we lift our hearts to you. Come, Jesus. Come, friend. We know your Lord. We know your Master. We know your Savior. But Jesus, we need you to be our friend too. Come, friend, and meet with us today and in all days to come. In your name we pray. Amen. Amen. Darren, did you mute me on the last song? Sorry, Anyway, okay. I love this, just that thing about that we go, right? And we have always talked about Jesus and our heart being his home. But this song is no. As his friend, his heart is our home, right? That's where we belong, in the very heart of Jesus. And I love that part where it talks about our cup being full and our cup running over. The world does not need, right? I'm just having this really horrible imagery of, you know, some septic tank, whatever we got left out of us, that's what we give the world. How about we give the world what Jesus has given us? How about we give the world what's in what's flowing out of that friendship with him? Our cup full and running over. Lord Jesus, this world needs you. Jesus, I need you. We need you. As Master and Lord, yes. As Savior, as Deliverer, as Healer, yes. But we need you, Jesus, as friend. So tomorrow morning when we get up and we're having that cup of coffee, you're sitting there with us. Lord, as we go home today and navigate some of the difficulties in our relationships, you're with us. You're our friend, and you will never leave us or forsake us. Come, friend Jesus, have your way in us, have your way with us, and have your way through us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless y'all. Thank you for being here today.
Thanks for listening to the St. Luke's Lubbock Sermon Podcast. For more information, you can find us on the web at stlukeslubbock.org. That's stlukeslubbock.org.